Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I got a great view, so it's kind of cool to kick it, and the wife put together some charcuterie.
Why are you picking on ball ground?
We picked a new city. We can't go after Noonan anymore. The Noonanites were raging against us, so we rage against the Noonanites. By the way, I was going to ask Mike Conti and apologize. I just couldn't hear Mike on the way the studio was hooked up. But I know Mike was talking about it last night. Squidbilly, we'll get into it maybe in Yeah Man, No Man. Flipping around TV last night, Carl, starved for any kind of sports content, albeit a movie from 1983. The Burt Reynolds classic Stroker Ace was on last night with cameos from Ricky Rudd, Dale Earnhardt, Harry Gant, a young Kyle Petty. So I was watching that movie that Burt Reynolds and it's pretty funny because, you know me, once I start watching stuff, my wife says, "You are such a nerd." I'll get on the computer and I'll start Wikipedia and everything. Burt Reynolds turned down the role that Jack Nicholson won the Oscar for in Terms of Endearment to make a stock car racing movie.
So, how crazy.
Which kind of like, kind of, you know, it, his career kind of until he got onto TV again. But anyway, that's what I was doing last night, bro. I was watching old classic NASCAR with great cars at top speed with drivers with personality, which is completely what they don't have right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't sound like NASCAR right now, but I hear you. I mean,
right.
That's when you're starving for sports, you find yourself watching old movies. I'm with you. I'm doing the same thing. And it doesn't matter how many times it's come on or how many times I've seen it. You know, right now it's like, oh, I want to see this. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Want to hear from you, 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. T-Bob Hebert on the way in 20 minutes. We got Yeah Man, No Man, as you mentioned, with Bo Morgan at about 40 after the hour. Lots of guys chiming in on our conversation about who is the icon for our city. And we were talking about this in regards to Tom Brady. We'll get back into that in the 5 o'clock hour. If you missed it, stay tuned for it. Right now, let's talk dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Brightboxelectrical.com, guys. From home theater and home security to backup generators. Make sure you always got the juice. As Carl said, we had some thunder and lightning rolling through Atlanta last night. Make sure you always got the power. I tweeted the video of a quick jaunt around my living room. You can see the great job Brightbox did hanging those flat screens.
All right. I want to ask you this, dog fans, because we are all in this mindset that things are on the uptick for the Georgia program, that Georgia ultimately is going to win a national championship, which I still think is true. But did Kirby underachieve? Because, Mike, you mentioned all of those players at LSU that are going in the draft. You see how many dogs are going to go in this draft from, and I'm not talking about order. I'm just simply telling you they're going to get drafted. Andrew Thomas is going to be a top pick at offensive tackle. Solomon Kinley is going to be a top pick first or second round. J.R. Reed is going in this draft. DeAndre Swift is going to be the first back to come off the board. Tyler Clark, who's a defensive tackle, will get drafted. And, oh, let's not forget, Rodrigo Blankenship. He's going to get picked. Maybe pick 200, but he's going to get picked by somebody.
Yeah, I saw some mock drafts where he's still sticking around when the Falcons are selecting. I think it was, now I remember, what, 227? So, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, you like Younghoe Koo? I thought that Rodrigo, we're all familiar with his work, but he also did miss some kicks in his senior year on his way to winning the Gross Award.
Yeah, I love Rodrigo. I love the story. You know, the kid didn't give up. They ultimately got a scholarship, and he helped the Dogs win. But you're right. I mean, he did go through some trials and tribulations of showing us that the mental aspect of this is not as easy as we think it is. He was arguably one of the best kickers to come through Georgia in a very long time. But I'm curious to see what he's going to, you know, what he's going to do in the NFL. The point is, that's a bunch of guys, dog fans. Did Kirby underachieve? You're sending all these guys to the NFL? That's one offseason, Mike. That's not like the, over the next 3 years. That's this upcoming draft, April 23rd, 4th, and 5th, and right. you're going to see dogs coming off the board.
Now, again, do you equate a guy's overall success to, yes, you got to win a championship. I mean, look, there's guys that get a free meal the rest of their life for winning the championship. T. Martin, I would imagine, up in Tennessee can get a free dinner right now. But in the case of Jake and the guys, they didn't bring home the bacon. Came so close in 17. I know we did all the finger pointing all through the football season. Receivers, the coaching, Jake, it's not Jake's fault. It's Cager's not consistently on the field, yada, yada, yada. You know, we talked about Holloman going out. This was your shot. You punch your ticket to win the SEC East. You are in, if you want to call it a quarterfinal or whatever. You know, and you know you got a great shot. And LSU just boat raced you out of that building from the second quarter on. So, you know, it's frustrating. You've got all this great talent, and you just weren't able to put it together this year. I think the defense is even better, Carl. A new offensive line, but it's all five stars, so the expectations don't diminish. I think you looked last year, and I think missed opportunities. I thought we didn't expect the offense to look the way it is, and that's the only reason why Kirby's decided to blow it up and go with Todd Monk and his OC.
Yeah, if LSU, and here's the thing, and if you looked at it from the other side, if LSU didn't win the national championship, but Burrow was the number one number one overall pick. Justin Jefferson's going. Mike mentioned, Christian Fulton, the cornerback. Chaisson, Patrick Queen. If they're sending all these guys in the NFL, and this is what kind of LSU has done, right? They've done that in the past. They've never won the championship, but they're always sending guys to the league, and you're going, why don't they win the championship? So you can't look at other teams and say that and not look at the dogs and say, look at all the guys they're sending to the league again. You underachieved. If you don't expect that from Georgia Tech right now, you're not expecting Georgia Tech to send 5, 6, 8 guys in the first two or three rounds of the NFL draft. If you're the dogs and you're doing that consistently, which they are now, you gotta say the same thing about them that you'd say about other teams.
Right. I mean, look, the SEC is the NFL minor league. It just is. I mean, you're putting guys, the ACC, the NFL, as far as who's got the best defense, who's putting the best defensive players in there. To me, I think pound for pound, it's the SEC. You know, and again, you could always, Carl, it's the same thing. When you see guys that are all world, how many guys have you been to a high school football game? Like, man, this coach is an idiot. Well, how many guys do you see coming out of the college ranks? Like, how are they using this guy? You know, so I don't care what LSU did cumulatively. Yes, were they as good as the teams that made the Final Four defensively? No. Clemson averaged 10 less points given up a game than LSU. But who got the job done? The Tigers. That's got to count for something.
It is Dukes and Bell. It is our dog report. I want to shift gears real quick and ask you this question. The video came out of Tua Tagovailoa working out. Tua's going to be a top 4 or 5 pick. I don't think there's any question about that. But, Mike, Tua was a better college quarterback than Joe Burrow. And I know Burrow blew us away with the numbers he put up in 2019. It was astounding. But when you look at Tua, who came on the scene in 17, and we know this, dog fans know this, you know, and took over, and ultimately when they win a championship, and then in 18, the guy threw, 43 touchdowns. He comes back off that championship season. And then this year, before being injured, he had 33. He was on his way to 45 or 50 touchdowns himself. My point is, do you look at this Tua situation and go, is that the guy that's really better than what we saw with Joe Burrow? Because Burrow's a system guy.
Well, no. Burrow's a drop-back passer. Everybody loves the dual threat. But last time I checked, Burrow is running all over the place, buying time, making plays with his legs, too, just in a different way than Tua. You know, Tua, as long as we're on an even page and we're not talking about the hip injury, we think he's okay. He certainly looked good in the video of him throwing the other day. But Joe Burrow can have success in the NFL, and Tua can have success in the NFL, okay? I mean, you look at Burrow. I'm still blown away by how composed he was against everything that Clemson was throwing against this guy. He can take a big hit, delivers the ball with accuracy. I mean, both to me, it's almost like you're doing why does this guy have to be it? Like Luka versus Trey? Both these guys can be rock stars in the NFL.
Yeah, I was just looking. Burrow's completion percentage, this is stupid, by the way. All right, and I'll tell you guys, in the NFL, if your quarterback completes 60% of his passes, he's doing something. He completed 76% of his completions on the season. I mean, that's 7 out of 10 throws were on the money. You know, I mean, that's how you have to think about this. But my point is, a guy like Tua Tagovailoa, Mike, is not far behind. Believe it or not, Before Tua got hurt, he was completing 71% of his passes at Alabama. He was having a great season. I think it was just lost because the way LSU was blowing everybody out. Here's the other thing. It's Dukes and Bell. We're just talking about this, guys, because the draft is coming up, and obviously we'll be all over it, breaking down players and talking about this more. But Mike's right. Think about this when you talk about Joe Burrow. And I know it's one moment in time, but he beats the Dogs. He throws four touchdowns in the SEC championship. The next week against OU, or in the semifinals, should I say, he threw seven touchdowns. And then gets to the finals, Mike, against Clemson, and everybody says, whoa, and he throws five touchdowns. That was his run to the college championship.
Right.
4-7-5 against arguably one of the best defenses he'd seen in the Dogs, and he destroyed them. OU didn't show anything. And then Clemson, everybody thought that they'd be able to slow him down, and the guy throws five touchdowns in a championship game. That is why Joe Burrow, to me, is the census number one overall pick in this draft. But I love what Tua brings, man, and I think people are discounting how good he was.
But as we just said, you know, it doesn't matter, Carl, if you're part of a team which has got it together and you don't do the job at the next level because, you know, you the rising tide raises all the ships. People look at you as a part of an elite team. Or you could come from a crappy team, a small school, and you could just ball out and be, you know, be a rock star. I mean, for instance, you just gave that great run that Burrow gave. Remember Cardale Jones? He goes through, remember they went through all the quarterbacks?
Yeah.
And he was the last man standing, and he's able to go through an unbelievable run of games. But to me, Burrow is just, he's the total package. I just feel sorry for him right now. You could argue Burrow goes to Cincinnati. They got nothing. You got a guy like Tua going to Miami. If these free agent moves pan out, they're starting to spend money, and they've got a chance to do something. He's going to a team which is actually maybe in a better position, even if he sits out this year, than what Burrow's going to with the hapless Bengals, you could argue.
Yeah, that's what's going to make it interesting. Because, again, I don't care how talented Burrow is or you think how good he is. If he goes there and the coaching's crap, it's going to be hard to overcome. Hey, one last note. Trevor Lawrence, if you missed this, NCAA allegedly were the culprits behind shutting him down. But the NCAA said it wasn't us. It was the compliance office at Clemson. As him and his girlfriend, she's a soccer player at Anderson University, they launched a GoFundMe page, Mike, on Monday to help raise money for family relief and support for coronavirus for victims. And it's a great idea. We love the kid, you know, Sunshine. We call him that nickname, you know, based on the movie Remember the Titans? But Trevor Lawrence is going to the NFL, right? He probably will be the first overall pick next year. But he's trying to find a way in his heart to give back and help people. And everybody thought the NCAA shut this down. Clemson then does. And then the NCAA comes back and says, no, we're fine with it. It's okay. What do you make of this story, man?
Yeah, I read this earlier, and first off, I love the fact that he's just not sitting on his butt. He's thinking about people that need some help right now. He's trying to help out some local charities. So he and his girlfriend get started with this. It turns out, as you said, Clemson, they were actually more freaked out about it than the NCAA, because needless to say, as soon as I read the story, I'm like, oh, here we go, NCAA with their stupid arcane rules, and where's the common sense, right? Here's a guy doing the right thing. So initially, it looks like, yeah, it was Clemson that was trying to get some confirmation to make sure he's not going to jam himself up for eligibility. And NCAA's like, hey, man, We're kind of cool with this. We're walking this back. I think you see, how many times have we seen that right in the last 2 years? The NCAA realizes, you know, their rep is terrible right now. So either way, good job by Trevor Lawrence. Appreciate young man. He's not the only guy that's doing it, but it was great to see him trying to help out. And they've raised almost $3,000. I think even more now.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. It is Dukes and Bell again. We talk college football each and every day. It's brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
BrightboxElectrical.com, man. You give them a buzz, go 770-901-2500 or go online to BrightboxElectrical.com and get that man cave you always wanted if you got the time.
All right, coming up, we're going to head to Louisiana. It's now a hot spot, guys. Mardi Gras was just a few weeks ago, and they believe that was part of the reason why it set off all the cases it did with coronavirus. But outside of that, the Saints are making moves, and LSU's got a bunch of guys in the draft, as Mike mentioned. We'll talk to T-Bob Hebert next on Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. It is Dukes and Bell. Hope you're having a great day. We're coming your way live from our mobile studios at our homes, brought to you by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. We want to catch up with our guy down in Louisiana, T-Bob Hebert, and he joins us regularly during the football season. But as we know, things have been a little bit different, obviously, this offseason, and he's down there in Baton Rouge on 104.5 ESPN. T-Bob, before we get started, man, how are you and the family? I know, you know, Louisiana's kind of become a hotspot, so let's start there first before we get into some of the sports questions we want to ask you.
Yeah, it turns out Mardi Gras was just kind of the perfect breeding ground for this thing and kind of how it works in its little insidious ways. Thankfully, we're all good down here. Me and my family, I got a little 2-year-old daughter and a little, so I've been already pretty paranoid, and wife's a month away from giving birth, so we're on full on quarantine and everything. But it's all good. I mean, it's all good so far. It's I don't know, man. For the nerds, it's actually almost my ideal life. Like, if every if everything wasn't crashing just monetarily all over the place, like, yeah, it's kind of awesome. I just do radio, and then I'm like immediately have to go home. I have no guilt about wanting to go home. I can play video games. I can, like, hang out. I can watch whatever I want. I mean, I'm just doing my social duty. So we're making the best of it down here for sure. But, yeah, full-on lockdown.
Right on. I'm all afraid, like most of us, the COVID-19 15 pounds we're going to put on. It's our man T-Bob Hebert on the WaitForIt.com hotline from down there, Baton Rouge. All right, T-Bob, because speaking of nerds, I've been total loser mode. I've done about 20 mock drafts now, and I want all LSU guys. I want them all. I want Cushenberry. I want Delpit.
Yeah.
I don't know about Chaisson, because we're a little scared off about that size guy at defensive end. But I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire late. Patrick Queen. You got Christian Fulton. I mean, who are some of your favorite guys? You think their game is going to translate to the NFL?
I'm glad that you said Cushenberry, because I think that he is someone that has a ton of potential at the next level, because physically he gets it. Or no, mentally, he gets it. He was really, really impressed. I know the Lions coaches and who else was down there? It was the Bengals staff was down there at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, and they just had glowing remarks about him in the meeting rooms and everything. And he can play, and he can play physically. He's got like a 6'11 wingspan for a center, and he's a good communicator, good leader. Like, I think whoever Lloyd Cushenberry gets is getting a long time starting center in the NFL. And then, I mean, out of those other guys, names, I mean, take your pick. I would say this, one reason why maybe Justin Jefferson is a bit more interesting than some people give him credit for, it's not just a good 40 time and all that, it's that a lot of these guys that you're naming, maybe not a lot, that might not be fair, but like a lot of people view Jefferson as one big year, right? He had this monster year this last year, and that's all he's done. But maybe the more impressive part of his resume is what he did in 2018 when LSU won the Fiesta Bowl, and their passing offense was, we're going to keep 7 to 8 guys in protection, send 3 out on routes, and just throw it to Justin Jefferson every time. And he's still like, and in that being double teamed, he still managed to put up good numbers. And so I think that is a guy who, especially in the modern NFL, where it's a little less physical out there and the slot receivers become so much bigger, like, I think he can play outside, inside. I think Justin Jefferson's going to be a beast.
What about Delpit, the safety? I've heard a lot about him, and obviously the corner. On the defensive side, there are guys in that back half of the defense that, to me, are guys that are going to get drafted and be plug-and-play starters in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. That's just kind of, I guess, Delpit goes unmentioned there just because I feel like that's been the idea with him for a while now, right? I mean, I know that this last year, even though he won the Thorpe Award, a lot of people were maybe a bit down on his play. But the potential, I mean, he played through a lot of injury this last year. And the potential, you saw junior year especially, like, he has the ability to be a top safety in the league, absolutely. And then Christian Fulton's interesting because Derek Stingley got all the praise this last year, and he had the numbers, he had the picks. But that's kind of the burden that a true shutdown corner carries, is that he forces people to the other side of the field. And so here you had people who are watching game film of LSU, and they chose to consistently attack Derek Stingley Jr. over Christian Fulton. And you saw what Stingley did. He punished him, and still people wouldn't really go after Fulton. So, I mean, that's another guy who feels like a first round, like you said, like maybe day one NFL starter.
It is our man, T-Bob Hebert. Yeah, Bobby Hebert, son of man, who I'm so proud of. LSU center. I mean, I should say lineman, and then now a radio career. He's a rock star. What about linebacker? We need some weak side linebacker help. Well, what about a guy in Patrick Queen? He's considered, in some cases, the third best linebacker in some of these mock drafts. What do you think?
Yeah, Patrick Queen is a bit interesting. He is someone who you really have, not just this one year, but really the last half of this year, where you're like, whoa. And then it culminated in a national championship where he was all over the place. I mean, he was dominating. And it's, well, I will say this. What I really like about Patrick Queen from this last season is that during the offseason, during the spring going into this 2019 championship year, he actually lost his starting job. And there was all this talk of, like, transfer portals. He going to leave? He went into O's office. He said, look, coach, what am I doing wrong? Where do I need to improve? What can I do? And still by season's beginning, he wasn't a starter. And then he worked his way into that role, I think, like, when first, maybe the second week of the season. And then he just started playing better and better and better. And then he looked like the best defensive player on the field during that national championship game. So there is a little sample size risk there. But when you're talking about modern NFL linebackers and the speed that you want, I mean, he has that top-tier speed, tackling ability, and he's very smart defensively. That Florida game, he got the final, the game-ending turnover on downs. The story goes that they lined up in some look that he had just studied during the week, and he knew they ran option out of it. Sure enough, he starts pointing his option. He ends up making the play, turnover on downs, LSU wins.
How much, or how scared should I say, were Saints fans at the idea that Breeze was going to step away for good? I know he said he wanted to think about it. We saw the Instagram post, but ultimately he comes back. But what was the conversation during that time period? Because we kept hearing about, you know, how they had a franchise quarterback in waiting. And we know that's not the case.
Well, you don't mean you don't trust Taysom Hill? Didn't he
no.
throw like 11 passes last year?
No!
No. I have never been on the quarterback of the future is on the roster bandwagon. I would say my old man is actually a bit higher on Taysom Hill as a pure quarterback than I would have expected. Huh. But no, I don't know. At least on my show, we didn't talk a lot about Drew maybe leaving. It just didn't really... Like, you know how there was a lot of smoke with the Brady stuff that now ended up being true? I didn't see a lot of that here. Kind of like everything you were kind of hearing through the grapevine was that he was probably going to return. Now, I will say this year, for whatever reason, I don't have any inside info or anything here, just organically, this year feels kind of like the final opportunity, the final all-in year when you just look at how everything's timing up and some of the moves that they're making. But yeah, I don't think people were too concerned about that. All I know is that I need a football season because right now I have an NFC South where I'm going to watch Drew Brees and Tom Brady battle twice a year with their weapons. The Saints adding Emmanuel Sanders to that group. And then roaring out of Carolina, you have two of Louisiana's favorite adopted sons who are now coming for revenge. They're coming to burn down the town that adopted them. And Joe Brady, the OC for the Panthers, and Teddy Bridgewater, who's now going to be their quarterback. Like, the NFC South is so full of storylines this season, and I just need football season to happen. I need it. So stay inside. Do whatever you have to do.
It's our man, T-Bob Hebert, doing a great job in radio in Louisiana, and the big fella breaking down the LSU draft picks and the Saints. I got to be honest with you, bro. You kind of done it, you know, with Mike Thomas, and then the other guys are like fish heads and rice, and now you go and you throw Emmanuel Sanders in the mix. And if Kamara comes back, we always thought Kamara looked like he was a step off last year. Is that offense back and rolling like a rock team? I should say, like, rock stars next year?
Yeah, I mean, they had it going pretty good in December. I would say the emergence of Jared Cook really kind of got that offense back to that form at the end. It just didn't show up in the playoffs at all against the Vikings. But, yeah, Kamara was off, man. And I don't know if that's – I mean, to me, the thing that I point to is no Mark Ingram. Him and Mark Ingram were a great 1-2 punch. And Mark Ingram could absorb a lot of the damage, a lot of the body blows, and set up Kamara in a lot of interesting ways. And while Latavius Murray had his moments, it just, I don't think the chemistry was there. The tandem wasn't quite there. And look, maybe Kamara's playing through injuries. So hard to, like, parse when guys are or aren't because you're basically always injured in some way. But, yeah, certainly I think Saints fans want to see him and a guy like Marshawn Lattimore, their cornerback on defense, get back to the form that they were in their first year for Lattimore especially, and then even Kamara in year two. But, I mean, he's had two good years, one little step back. You give him a chance to come back even stronger this season. But I love adding Emmanuel Sanders because Ted Ginn just was bringing nothing to the table at all. And I'm not saying Emmanuel Sanders is going to be what he was, but he doesn't have to be what he was. Because like you said, you got Mike Thomas. You got Jared Cook. You got Kamara. Emmanuel Sanders is going to be playing that Willie Snead position. It's like I was talking about my show the other day, too. When you have a quarterback, it's like Matt Ryan as well. But like Drew Brees can make Dan Arnold dangerous, okay? So if he can make Dan Arnold dangerous, he can make Emmanuel Sanders still very damn good. And so I'm really excited to see how that. And they got a good O-line. So like that's what I'm saying. Everything's kind of lined up this year where this really does look like the final push. And I actually think that's why Andrus Peat had a little more leverage at the negotiating table than a lot of us realize. And that's how he got that 5-year, $50-plus million deal.
Great stuff as always, T-Bob, man. Keep your family safe. Congrats on the baby that's coming. And we appreciate you joining us as always, man. Thanks so much.
All right, boys. Love it. Y'all have a great day. Stay safe.
There he is. T-Bob. I was going to say, he's a big Star Wars fan, so I hope he doesn't come up with some crazy name, you know, for the kid.
You know. What, Jabba the Hutt? What are you talking about?
I don't know, man. It could be C-3PO A-Bear. I don't know. You never know with him.
Hey, coming up, Yeah Man, No Man. If you are stressed, it's a great time to have a Hey Man Ale. If you have access to it, go find one at your local package stores. Those package stores, by the way, are still open, and they carry Hey Man. All right, Bo Morgan's on the way. It's Dukes and Bell. It's radio.com. Coming up, how Hayden Hurst is going to help our Falcons. We'll talk about it as part of our Falcon Report. But first, Bo Morgan is here with Yeah Man, No Man. What's going on today, Bo?
You know what? I've done everything today. I got a workout in. I went to the store. I worked on my golf cart for 2 hours, which
is Bo there?
Still is not working the way I want it. You guys hear me?
I got you fine, brother man. I think Carl,
right.
You got him, Carl?
No, I can't hear him, but you guys knock it out.
All right, because this happened earlier. I couldn't hear Conti. We are still working on some of the bugs, but so far it's been pretty good. All right, Squid, you were saying, just like the old days, pal, just you and me, what do you got?
Oh, good Lord, Mikey, me and you. All right. Yesterday you were talking about Joe Buck doing play-by-play for normal people doing normal stuff.
Right.
So Craig and I went out and got some of these cuts for you. Here is Joe Buck doing a play-by-play for a dog playing with his toy.
All right, our friend Mina Kimes has sent in a video. Okay, here we go. Let's go. 17 seconds of unadulterated fun. A person, I don't think that's Mina, throwing the ball, scraps the dog, goes and retrieves it, and now is doing the, I'm not going to bring, no, psych, bringing it back, and awfully happy and proud of the work that Scraps has done, and that's it. I'm sure that's happened thousands of times with this dog, with that hand, with that ball, on that deck, around that table. Well done, Mina. Thanks for the video.
I mean, just trying to have some fun with the average, everyday mundane stuff. And as I said yesterday, the fact that he's encouraging people to send these vids and then, you know, contribute some money to a local charity that might be in need some help, especially now, not bad. Good job there, Joe Buck.
Yeah, that was Mina Kimes that sent it in. She does work for ESPN. And now here is Joe Buck calling marble racing.
Marble race. So I'm going to start the video now, and off they go. Amazing how they get out of the gate, and you would have to think that if these marbles are all weighted the same, that whichever one gets out in front will likely be the winner. As I look at how much time is left in this race, just under a full 2 minutes, as that turquoise ball looks like an eyeball just plucked right out of the socket of Cameron Diaz is rolling its way down this track. Who has the kind of time to build this track? That's the most impressive part to me.
And for those who have not seen that long-form video, it goes – I mean, I was trying to figure out where could you get that kind of – you have to have a grade, right? I mean, as long as it's like 1%, like an aqueduct would work in the ancient Rome or something, you'd have to build that thing out on the beach. It looked like the length of a football field for as long as that thing went. And now I can't hear Squid Billy. What the hell is this? It's like all or either in or either. One of you and I gets this or the other. What the hell is going on?
I don't know. I was entertained by that Joe Buck stuff. I'll tell you
yeah,
that.
Yeah, me too. Now I got Squidbilly back. I mean, what is going on? Can we get to send somebody to Radio Shack for more diodes up there? I don't know what's going on. We need more splitters.
One of the Marvel races that I watched.
Yeah.
Went forever, Mike, and with the blue ball, lost mm-hmm. the lead, and then the blue ball comes back in the lead. It was just unreal. I didn't know that marbles could roll and compete with each other like that.
As I said, I mean, it goes on forever. I don't know who had the time, as Joe Buck said, to make the track that big. It really was. So, look, good job for Joe. We talked about it yesterday, if you missed our show, that friends of ours who were working on Brockmire were saying just how cool Joe Buck was and the work he did in year two. So maybe I got to reevaluate my hatred of Joe Buck. Maybe it's misplaced.
Yeah, he was really good in Brockmire. All right, in this time of pandemic and everyone being home quarantined, someone got the bright idea on Twitter to do a Hunger Games district map.
Okay.
And Mike, have you seen this?
No, I mean, I'm going to punch it up on the computer right now. Hunger Games district map. Let me look at this right now.
So I'll go ahead and retweet it so you'll find it easily on Twitter. This is unfair at the greatest level. So they go from 1 to 12. And 1 is essentially Southern California.
Right.
2 has a little bit of what I don't know, one of these states. Idaho is Idaho, Arizona.
The Pacific.
A little bit of New Mexico.
Okay. All right. All right. I'm looking at, you know, Carl, there's like six.
Three.
Carl, there's six. There's 16 of these on the internet. Let me go to your Twitter page because I'm looking at a completely different map. All right, do continue.
Now you got to look at this.
I'm on it.
Because what we're going to talk about is District 11, which is essentially all of Texas.
Right.
All of Oklahoma. The best part of Louisiana, so it left out New Orleans.
Right.
Then you've got Arkansas, other than the northern part of it.
Uh-huh.
Almost all of Mississippi, but maybe Gulf Shore, not Gulf Shores, but like the Beau Rivage and stuff.
Right, right.
All of Alabama, but Gulf Shores area. Most of Georgia goes up through Tennessee, South Carolina, North Carolina, and looks like the tip of West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, doesn't that seem entirely unfair to put Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia all in the same district?
Well, it is the agricultural district. If you want to take it back to, you know, antebellum, you know, it was the all the farming, all the production of, you know, fruits, vegetables, dairy cattle. That would be District 11 in the Hunger Games, and that's kind of what we got here. I mean, you know, where Katniss is from, that would be the Appalachians.
They got all the guns, too, don't they?
They do. But they, I mean,
well, that's
District,
my point.
District 11 is the breadbasket, basically. Other, I mean, the Midwest, you could have made it, you know, up there with the plains. But for the most part, where a lot of stuff is grown, right here in District 11, where we live, apparently.
This is almost like the SEC in college football. There's no, yeah. every year they're going to win, but maybe an oddball year.
Right. I'm with you.
10 is a good district, too, because you've got the Dakotas, Montana. I just thought it was very interesting. I mean, you got right. New York and Pennsylvania with the Commonwealth. I just don't think they have a chance.
Yeah, they made 11 too big, Carl. I'm looking at the map that Squidbilly. 12 should be bigger. Where all of Appalachia should be like where Katniss is. Now, for those who never watched The Hunger Games, that's where all the mining is done, you know, all that stuff. That would be like Western Pennsylvania, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee. So they're a little off on it. So we're going to punch this guy in the head, whoever designed this.
That's another good series now, Bo. You got me thinking about maybe going back and watching.
Well, you know, Carl, I watched it, and I thought it was phenomenal. And I'm not fan of sci-fi. I guess I am because I like Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and all that stuff, but I thought it was pretty good.
Yes, that would make that would make you a science fiction fan, Bo.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no. I thought that through as I said it.
No, Hunger Games, the movies were really good. They were very entertaining, and the books are even better. It's Bo Morgan. It is Yeah Man, No Man. Falcon Report's on the way. All right, what else you got, man?
Well, real quick, because we only have about a minute. Carl and I, and I know Mike Conti is going to get in this. And Mike, I don't know how you can get in on this. Maybe you can do something inside a condo.
Okay.
But Friday, guys, make sure you listen all day because we are going to do an old-fashioned smoke-off.
Ooh.
So I have got a piece of meat. Carl has a piece of meat.
I got a big piece of meat.
We're going to smoke our meat.
All right. So all I can do in a condo is
all show.
Yeah, I can crock pot it. I can't think we can't smoke, Carl. That's not an option up here.
I got a big piece of meat to play with.
Hey, now.
I'm talking about smoking it.
Anyways, I've already bought my piece of meat.
Uh-huh.
Carl's already bought his. And basically, we're just going to document ourselves, preparing our food, cook it. We're going to cook it during the show. And then hopefully by the end of the show, everybody's meat will be ready. And then we can document that for you as well. And you can send your pictures in to us. Tell us what you're smoking at home as we're all quarantined.
So look forward to that on Friday, guys. And Mike Conti's going to get in on it. I'm in on it. Bo's in on it. So, you know, I know Randy Mack likes to smoke out as well, but we'll see if we can get in on this as well. So we're just trying to bring you some different perspectives as to what's going on at our houses. And more importantly, as we get, you know, give you an update on how we deal with quarantine. So we thought it'd be a good idea, and we're going to do that on Friday. So make sure you check out social media and you're listening to the show. Bo Morgan, what else?
As always, we're brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit fixjets.com for more info. Craig, hit my music.
There you go, Carl. Sweet Home District 11.
It is Dukes and Bell. Coming up, Falcon Report. All right, we're going to talk about how we saved all this money, made these moves, and how are we going to use Hayden Hurst? It's coming up. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.